This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. You've got just me again. Alan's still feeling a little under the weather, but I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Hopefully he's back on board tomorrow, but the show must go on, which means we also want to give you $1,000. So you're probably just wanting me to shut up and give you the letter, which is T for tomorrow or T for Tango. Let's go through the questions here. What might trip people up? I actually think this is a pretty easy one tomorrow. I know I said that yesterday, but I actually genuinely think this one might trip some people up. So I think this is going to be a huge advantage. Name a word starting with T with double letters. It's a bit of a thinker because they could be letters to get two T's together or two T's apart, if that helps. Should I put you out of your misery?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Tattoo.
Of course.
Teeth.
Oh.
Two, because it's got double letters even though they're not two T's.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah, that's a thinker.
Okay.
Or tooth. Anyway, guys, the more you know, the more you know. So you can take that answer and be quietly confident that you know you're going to nail at least one of the questions in Alpha Bucks tomorrow. Enjoy the podcast. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly. And right now I am very excited to be joined by what could be a familiar voice to some of you. And that is Heidi Anderson. She is an ex-radio host. You would have heard her if you were listening from Bunbury. She was on Big Brother for a point in time. And she's also a new mum. She's done so many things. She's also a life coach and she's teaching women how to find their confidence, which I absolutely love, with her new book, Drunk on Confidence, Unapologetically Me, From Lost to Self-Assured. Good morning, Heidi.
Oh my God, Carly, what a trip down memory lane. I was you 10 years ago.
I know. Well, probably a better version of me, Heidi, because I actually remember some of the amazing things that you did in radio with your platform. And anyone that is listening from Bunbury would certainly remember when you got vulnerable and you basically opened up and helped so many women, myself included when I heard it, by sharing your vulnerabilities on air. And I understand that that kind of was a catalyst for you writing this book.
I was you 10 years ago. My co-host was Tom, and they might remember Rob as well. And I was working in Bunbury. We were doing, you know, the Southwest. I always was like the girl on air that showed up as, you know, the funny, silly one talking about her single life. And then I had a moment on air where I spoke openly about how I was truly feeling about the way that I saw myself. And that was the moment that changed everything for me. I remember saying the words along the lines of something like, I hate my body. And from this day forward, I want to be the role model that people think I am. And because of my personality and all these things. And that just really hit people in the fields. And I think so many people related because they were like, yeah, I actually don't like this about myself. And that was the moment that changed my life, literally sharing it with, you know, the Southwest of WA.
Well, you've definitely proven that there's power in vulnerability, but what you've also proven with your work that you continue to do to this day that is so important, Heidi, is that you create a safe space for women to be vulnerable and not always be, like you said, that happy-go-lucky girl. You can be the person with insecurities. But what you're doing with this book, I guess, is turning those insecurities into confidence. Now, obviously, you have to read the book because it's such a loaded thing to try to do, turning your insecurities into confidence. But in a nutshell, you are a confident woman and you teach women this. How have you managed to do that?
Oh, it's been a journey. And, you know, I'd love to say this, I'm still a work in progress. But I think becoming drunk on confidence, which is what the concept of the book is all about, is being unapologetically me. And that is accepting all parts of me and accepting myself for who I am today, because I can't change the past. I can only create a future. So the Let It Go Swim, which happened actually in Bunbury, we had people in Albany doing it, Narrogin, and they're all calling in on the day. That was a massive moment where we kind of dived into the ocean. There was all these people lined up in their swimmers and we all like let it go. And we had this refresh, reset, restart button. And that is what I teach people today, that we can expose ourselves to what we're scared of. And so the reason what I was scared of when I was wearing my swimmers on the beach was judgment of other people, that they were going to judge me for being the bigger girl that had cellulite on her legs. And so in that moment on the beach that day in Bunbury 10 years ago, I let that go. What I also teach women and men is that, you know, we can make these changes 1% every single day. We can work on our confidence. And for me, my book is about not being that girl that's drunk anymore, that needs, you know, because I was always drunk on champagne, especially in my Bunbury days, on the dance floor at, I think it was Fitzy's or whatever it was called, yeah. And I was always there, and I was really, really confident because I was loaded with champagne. And what I teach people now is that you can have that confidence without being drunk on champagne. And that is how the name of the book came about. And it's through making these 1% changes every single day.
Well, Heidi, you've definitely made a difference in so many women and men's lives now with this work that you're doing. And I cannot wait to get my hands on this book and kind of drink in some of that confidence that you're exuding. You can pre-order it now, or it's out October 18th. It's so good to hear you on our radio again. Thank you so much for joining me, Heidi.
Oh, thanks, Carly.
Carly's Deep Dive.
So today's deep dive is an interesting one. It is on the predictive powers of pizza, and in particular, something that was coined the pizza meter. So basically, there was a guy by the name of Frank Meats who come up with this metric system. He owned 45 Domino's in the Washington state area. And what he noticed was a spike in pizza deliveries to government buildings about 72 hours before a big global event was going to be announced. He started noting this pattern, and even the media took note of this. And he was able to predict big events happening like the Panama invasion, the Kuwait war, and so on and so forth. He noted that deliveries skyrocketed to government buildings from around 50 to 125 pizzas a day. It signaled that these government agencies were having to be in long meetings and they were discussing something pretty serious. And as it turns out, the pizza meter extended far beyond government agencies. In the 90s, a lot of data was collected based wholly and solely on people's delivery orders. There was a lot of polling done by delivery drivers who claimed to offer an insight into Americans' political and personal attitudes, from everything like people who answered the door while listening to rap music were 45% more likely to order a meat top pizza than non-rap listeners. They also found that people who answered the door wearing polyester ordered 9% more vegetarian pizzas than those sporting natural fibers. It turns out that the pizza meter also even took the occasional stab at drawing larger conclusions based on the survey of delivery drivers. They found, very funnily, that of those that answered the door nude, they actually started dropping in numbers when they started marketing underwear a lot better. I'm thinking of 1995 with that sexy Calvin Klein underwear ad. Yeah, apparently after that went to market, they started seeing a drop in people actually answering the door nude for pizza delivery orders. But back on that US government agency, this pizza meter started getting so mainstream that they actually put a policy in place that they stop actually ordering pizzas into the White House. Occasionally they still do, but they've changed the way that they do business. So they'll now send staffers out into different pizza places all over Washington, and they'll also order smaller quantities at a time so that people can't read too much into their pizza delivery orders. So that's a lot to keep in mind next time you're placing your next Domino's order. Who knows? Maybe you're letting your delivery driver know a lot more about you than you thought. I wanted to get your advice because I had a bit of a situation. We had a week off, and to be honest, I didn't really get a lot done. But the one thing I was proud of, my only accomplishment in a whole week, was cleaning out my closet. I did, you know, and I don't know if you do this, maybe it was because spring's on the way, but I'm looking at things. I'm like, I haven't worn that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to an 80s costume party anytime soon. I've got to get rid of it. So I thought, you know, maybe I can make a bit of cash here. I've got time. So I put a few dresses on buy, swap and sell. Now, I've done this before. I don't know if you have, Bailey, but it opens up the floodgates. You've got to answer a million questions. Yep. People really take you to task.
They're trying to barter you down.
Yep.
Yep.
But the one thing that caught me off guard was I was selling, I think it was about two dresses. I think I bundled them together for like $20. I was literally priced
bargain
to sell. They had the tags on them. And the reason why I wanted your advice on this, because I know you've got a lot of side hustles. You're a hustler,
Bailey.
I'm
a bit of a dabbler.
You are. So I know one of your side hustles is a dress hire business,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I had a bit of a weird one because I'm not in this business of buying and selling and swapping dresses.
I mean, it sounds like it.
You've got,
like,
I am now.
On off. I might pop by.
But It was like I was running a business because this girl rocked up. She'd already asked me a million questions about the dresses. I had to measure the bust. Have you ever had to do that?
Oh no. Yeah. I don't go there. Not that close.
Right. So, not her bust, by the way.
Oh, thank God. Oh, I was going to say, I was like, geez, Carly, what services are you offering?
By the way, so I was measuring it, side note, and my husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm measuring the bust. He's like, just look up the dress because it still had the tags on it and they'll have the measurements on the website.
Effie, problem
solved. Life hack. But anyway, she rocks up, she's looking at the dresses and she's like, oh, perfect. Where can I try these on? Now, I'm at my house.
Mm.
And I'm like,
you don't have a changing room.
No, I'm not Suzanne.
I mean, who does?
And so I was kind of at this weird moment of like, do I? Mm. She wasn't giving me too weird vibes, but I'm like, a stranger's kind of essentially asking to get naked in my house.
Yeah.
How do I feel about this? Where do I take them? Are they going to go through my drawers? So anyway, I want the sale. So I was like, oh, you can try it on in my room if you want. There's a full length mirror in there. Bailey, she was in there for half an hour.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What was she doing in there for half an hour? I'm going through my head going, what have I got in there? Like, nothing sinister.
Mm.
But it just felt weird to know there was a stranger in my bedroom, in their underwear. Now, with your dress hire business, I know you run that out of your house.
Yeah.
What do you do when people want to try stuff
on? To be honest, Carly, until you told me that, I actually didn't even think about that.
About how
weird it is. It is pretty weird,
it's
isn't it?
In your undies. I mean, they could be going through your drawers.
But I mean,
trying on your undies.
Yeah, but if they come over and try the dress on, they just go into like the spare room. So there's kind of a desk in there. There's a bit of a mirror.
See,
so they don't really have too much on offer. I mean,
this is why you're the hustler and I'm not. You've got a dedicated room. Have you got a ring light in there? I bet you do.
Well, yeah, that is probably on the purchase list. Yeah, maybe a ring light, maybe some hangers,
so
a bit of a wardrobe.
Really what you're saying is I just need to up my game here and get an ABN.
I think so.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and you've got just Carly for today, but I'm also joined by tech expert Trevor Long, and I desperately want to speak to you, Trevor, because I'm a very nervous Optus customer. Should I be nervous right now?
Absolutely. Any Optus customer should be nervous because, you know, 11 million lines of customer data have been stolen from the Optus network, and it could be you. It could include your driver's license number, and it certainly includes your date of birth and your name and your address, and those things are pretty key to our identity.
Absolutely. Now, let's take it back to the beginning because I actually don't understand how this all happened, especially with an organisation like Optus.
I'm not sure Optus does. They call it a sophisticated attack, which means, you know, let's put that in home burglary terms. It means that someone picked a lock, picked a deadlock and bypassed a home security network, right? But actually, from what the cyber and hacker community is saying, it's more likely this was they walked up to the front door. It was open. They peeked in and grabbed some stuff because it was kind of a server or a computer set up for Optus to be able to use and see customer data, but it wasn't secure. And all the hackers, which isn't really a hack, needed to do was know the address, and they got it and they got the data.
Wow. So we did hear yesterday that the hackers were kind of going back and forth and making these threats. Where are we at with that?
So they've rescinded all threats. They've withdrawn their ransom. But remember, that's just one person. We don't even know if that person is the originator of the hack. We don't know how many other people had access to this information or this server. So we can't assume just because one potentially teenager in their mum's basement absolutely panicked when the FBI rang them, we can't assume it's all over. And we have to assume someone else has all the data.
Wow. And we're hearing today that the government is actually going to come out on a state-by-state basis and issue people that have been affected with free licenses. Is this correct?
That's right. So it depends on the state. Some states are saying you have to get a reimbursement from Optus. Others are saying it's free to get a new license with a new license number. And that is the smartest thing you can do to block the identity scams that could happen in the future.
And just quickly, as an Optus customer, what is the next step we should take? Obviously getting a new license, but is there anything that we can do today to kind of stop ourselves from coming under threat from having our information stolen?
Get in touch with Optus and ask for access to their identity fraud protection plan. They've done a deal to allow everyone to get 12 months of that, and I think that's a very smart thing to do. So be vigilant. Don't click any links in any emails or texts, especially about Optus, but anything that appears to know you well, and be very vigilant about scams going forward.
Well, Trevor Long, tech expert, thank you for joining me. I'd like to say you made me feel a little better, but I'm actually feeling more nervous than when this chat started.
Not my job today, I'm sorry.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.